This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to another classic episode of Buckets. Wow, so much has happened since we spoke last, so let's just get into it. Of course, with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Ooh. Austin Rivers is a Knick.
Yeah.
All of our dreams have come true. That is the news from the free agency and draft period. We got him, boys. We got him.
We didn't even talk about the draft and then all of free agency. Every trade has happened.
1 year, $5 million. Yeah. We got him, boys.
It seems to be like, I guess the Knicks think that's the only kind of contract. Actually, they broke the bank for Alec Burke, right. 1 year, $6 million.
Yeah, it's just so, we'll get into the Knicks at some point. But yes, the draft has occurred. Free agency, for the most part, has occurred.
Yeah. The draft was kind of fun. I wasn't expecting to be as into it as I was. I stuck around for longer than I thought I would.
It was weird that I knew all the names, but could tell you almost nothing about each of them. I feel like I'm a much more informed, NBA fan than when I was watching it. I was like, all right, Halliburton, Williams, like Edwards. Yeah. Like I should know more, but for some reason, I just can't speak too intellectually on each player.
It seems like there's only two kinds of players, and it's like 6 foot, 8 inch, combo small, 4, stretch 5 kind of guy, or like amazing point guard. And that's it. There's just like, that's what the NBA is.
Right. It's a positionless league. But you hear about like Anthony Edwards gained like 30 pounds and an inch and a half just since college to today. It's like, oh yeah, they're 18. Like these are like such like young kids.
It's crazy. So yeah, they're too young almost. One could argue they're too young to be playing professional basketball, but that's neither here nor
there.
And yet
in 2023, I believe that's when the high school kids are allowed back in.
Yeah.
And that's where the Knicks are just buttering their bread right now. Stacking picks for 2023.
I mean, I sent you some like high school highlights. There was like that like 7 foot, 1 inch white kid against like Amone Bates, who looks like Kevin fucking Durant meets Kevin Garnett in like a 15-year-old's body.
Yeah, we're seeing more of these, like, we say stretch fours, but I mean, like, stretched out seven-footers, like, stretch centers in high school that are like, it's like, you're not right, but there's more of you. There's, like, an army of these, like, Gumby-type white dudes. Like, they're not just international. Now they're domestic, too.
How tall was the tallest guy in your high school?
We had one guy named David Schloss. Who was, and if your last name is Schloss, you got some inches.
Yeah.
And he was in high school like 6'10", 6'11".
Wow.
Like he was a center. Like when both teams came out for layup lines, it was like, all right, they have the big.
So that guy was yamming. That guy was dunking.
And like he made it to a SUNY team, I believe, like a State University of New York team. And it's like, but you're 6'11". Like how many of there are you? And it turns out a lot because Instagram is showing us these Gumby like dudes.
We didn't have that. I mean, obviously, we didn't have that at my private Jewish school. There was no 6 foot, 11 inch guys dunking.
Yeah, I don't think that there was 10 years before David Schloss or 10 years after David Schloss. So it was just a real sweet spot for Oceanside High School.
All right, draft-wise, what are you excited about? Are you excited about LaMelo and or Obi Toppin to the Knicks?
So I've listened to a lot of NBA podcasts, especially the day after the draft. All you want to hear is like after your team wins the championship, you just want to watch SportsCenter where they're just like, this was so awesome. They're the best team. It's just like you want to swim in that.
Right.
So I tuned into Simmons and Lowe and just the big names. And I listened for an hour and 15. If it was Simmons, 7 hours and 15. And there was so much real estate for them to maybe mention Obi Toppin. And no one over the course of like four podcasts, they'd be like, and with the 6th, 7th, and 9th picks, these are our thoughts. And I just like, I'm dumbfounded. Yeah. So I guess we have to give a little bit of attention to Obi Toppin, if only for a second.
Okay, so what do you know? What do you know about Obi?
So what do I know about Obi is he's from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Good start.
Great start.
Yeah, people didn't know. It was funny when he got drafted. It seemed like the common tweet was, is he going to be able to handle New York? Like, some people can't handle New York. And it's like, well, he was raised here, so it's all he knows. Apparently, he had a massive growth spurt where he went from like 6'2 to 6'9, and that's when he kind of just exploded into being like, oh, I just dunk now. They say he can shoot. I really don't know. The comp is Amari. I really just don't know. I mean, I like that it almost sounds like Kobe. That's a start.
It does sound a lot like Kobe. And it's hard to say because, I mean, there's like videos of like, you know, Hassan Whiteside shooting threes and Mitch Robinson shooting threes. Like, just because you can do it in an empty gym, like, how often do they give you the green light in the game? It seems rare.
Right. And when we're texting on a group text chain, you like to just like figure out ways of insulting the Knicks and stuff like that. And one of our favorite things that I kind of play with too is we have 11 power forwards and RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
And for us to pass on who everyone says Tyrese Halliburton is going to be like the next important player in the NBA for another power forward felt like, all right, we're still the Knicks. Still the Knicks. Definitely still the Knicks.
But then they started waiving power forwards and cutting them. So it's like, it felt weird. Mm-hmm. They just signed so many and now they're just getting rid of them all.
So I'd like to touch on that for a second because last year, it's such deja vu with Knicks fans where we just make the same mistakes over and over again, or at least we put our faith in this funniest things over and over again. So last year, there were no real free agents for us, and frankly, no free agents wanted to come to us, as was established with Durant and Kyrie. Well,
yeah, it was the KD and Kyrie, like, keep your fingers crossed. They want to play in New York. They only have two options. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Turns out we didn't have a backup plan.
Right.
And so we said, let's try and be received as smart by signing only one-year deals, $10 million each, to a bunch of power forwards, and we'll trade most of them at the deadline. So Knicks fans were like, all right, I guess we'll buy another year of rebuilding. Well, we only traded one, from what I can remember, Marcus Morris.
Yep.
We kept all the rest of them, and we cut them all this year. So all we did was platoon for this free agent class, in which we signed Austin Rivers and Alec Burks. So we haven't done anything new, and now we're saying, all right, let's just buy some junk contracts and get ready for next year. And it's like, but we just did that.
Honestly, next summer, that's like the summer you want to be in a prime position. Meanwhile, like, every marquee free agent is signing an extension this week. Like, Brandon Ingram signed today.
Right.
Bam Adebayo signed today. Giannis will be the next domino that falls. And then it's like, okay. Yes. Those guys are gone, but next summer, the summer after that, 2022, at a certain point, you have to be like, all right, let's see if one of these guys can be Donovan Mitchell. Let's see if one of these guys can be Jason Tatum.
Yes, and Knicks fans have twisted so many different narratives to why these players will be coming to the Knicks. It's like, Donovan Mitchell's a Mets fan. Why wouldn't he want to come to the Knicks? Even though he has a fully established life in Utah for the past 5 years. It's like, but we've got DeGrom. It's like, Knicks fans, I just don't know what to tell us right now to put faith in. It's like, Leon seems shrewd. I'll say that.
He's definitely not overspending for mediocre players. Like, the joke is like, let's give Hassan Whiteside $100 million. They're not doing that.
Right. Right. They had every opportunity probably to sell the farm for Westbrook. And that just never really materialized past the first rumor mill.
So if you're just looking at their timeline, which is like, they just got into town like a couple months ago, they haven't messed up yet.
Fact. Yeah. And that's a big win for Knicks front office. One thing I do like about the Obi signing that I will say is that the Knicks are on this weird timeline where we do now have a couple of like second and third year players in the league who are like supposed to have upside, whether it's Ntilikina, Knox, Barrett, Mitchell Robinson. Like, they're all like 2-3 years in. Obi Toppin's 22. And that means that he's like at the same age range of them, same developmental. And so there's something about not drafting an 18-year-old to suddenly save these 22-year-olds, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's leave New York, if you can imagine for a second. There's other teams in the NBA. Which trade or free agent signing was the most wow, oh dear, holy shit moment for you of the weekend?
Outside of Austin Rivers, 1-for-5.
1-for-5, yeah.
Gordon Hayward for $120 is wild, huh? Education reform. I mean, wow. There's some private schools heading your way, homie. Jeez.
I mean, yeah. So he turned down that last year of his Boston contract for $34 million. People are like, what is he doing? And then it's like, don't worry. Maybe he'll get $100 million over four. It's not the same 34, but, you know, for the more years. He almost got four more years of $34 million per. It's 4 years at $30 million per.
At his apex in Utah, his apex when he was like, you know, sky's the limit. I think he was averaging 25 and 4. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. That's good. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's fine. But like, he was coming to be like the savior in Boston, and then he gets like basically a pseudo max deal in Charlotte. And it's like, he was 25 and 4 at his best before his like foot went backwards and everything went haywire. Haywarder.
Nice.
You got it. But that's the one everyone's talking about. What about you? Was there like one? I mean, like, you want to talk about Marc Gasol yet? Do you want to talk about Schroeder yet?
No, we don't have to talk about the Lakers yet, but that'll be the rest of the episode once we hit on it. The weird thing about Hayward to me is it doesn't feel like a culture fit even. Like, Charlotte, I felt like, was starting to become a cool young team. Like, Devontae Graham, cool young. PJ cool Washington, young. Cool young.
Cool young.
Terry Rozier, coolish, youngish. Melo, mm-hmm. the ultimate cool young. Mm-hmm. And now you're throwing in a 31-year-old Republican white dude, small forward. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this the correct timeline? Are you guys doing the right thing here?
Don't you belong in Boston? You should probably stay in Boston.
I mean, Boston, trading to Indiana, that felt like that was a slam dunk. That was perfect. But for whatever reason, Boston didn't want to get. Either they tried to get Miles Turner back or they decided to not get Miles Turner back, and they figured we can give Tristan Thompson $19 million over 2 years instead.
Right. Yeah, I wonder. I mean, the LaMelo of it all is the most interesting narrative of it to me. It's like he could either make that team better or he could like bring that team back a couple of steps in his rookie season. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if Hayward balances that per se, because I think they want to just develop him right now.
I mean, whatever happens, just having Melo on your team makes you kind of like a must-watch-ish the first part of next season. Like, I'm definitely curious to see what Melo looks like.
Yeah, because it's like his footage is from his overseas games and his high school games, but it's like we never really got to see him just play against like the college elite you know, there would be some highlights of him against this guy and that guy. But, you know, like for the most part, it seems like his footage is different. So he could go one of two ways. You know, I'm curious.
Like, what is it like when Drew Holiday is guarding you and not a 39-year-old Australian kid?
Oh, I mean, when Drew Holiday is guarding Damian Lillard, he scores 10 points. Right. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think that LaMelo stands a chance in that. But I'm wondering, like, even from the casual fan, like, I'm older than, like, you know, like NBA Twitter's 22-year-olds who just like watch LaMelo clips all day. But like, is he must-see TV? Do they get national games because now they have LaMelo Ball?
I think at first people are super curious to see what he's like. Like, is his ceiling just Lonzo, or is it something more special than that?
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of TBD. We'll see. Right.
He is Obi Toppin's height. Like, for whatever reason, this point guard is, again, another 6'8" point guard. Everybody's 6'8".
Yeah. Obi just dunks. And that's like a little concerning to me. I know we're off the Knicks bandwagon. Yeah. It seems like his like special feature is dunks hard. And it's like, okay, that's kind of cool, I guess.
It's cool if there were people at MSG watching him go between his legs in the middle of a game.
Right.
Has that ever happened?
There must have been.
The mid-game through the legs?
There has to be like a Jason Richardson or like J.R. Ryder, Harold Miner, just something, right?
I don't know about during the game.
Yeah, you might get pulled if you miss that. Coach is probably taking you right out.
It's a risk.
I think that the most interesting, you said like, what's the one trade that kind of stands out? But the one that is still out there, I guess, is Bogey. What the hell? Is this guy like, why doesn't he sign Bogdanović?
That was, So this is what happened with him. He was on Milwaukee for about a day. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, this is great. They got Drew Holiday and they turned pieces to get Bogdanović, of course, the restricted free agent with the Kings. And then Woj announced it. And within a few hours, he's like, actually, Bogdan never agreed to the sign and trade, which I didn't realize he had to do, because it's like, it was more not just a trade, it was he's a restricted free agent, so they had basically had to work a deal with Bogdan to sign a specific contract and trade him to the Bucks.
Right.
So I guess Woj or somebody jumped the gun, tweeted that the trade was done, and then Bogdan's like, I didn't agree to that.
Right. And so that's the first half of it. That's the one that like we all were like, that was so weird. But then like since he's been reported to the Hawks for like a week, and it's just like, does he not have a pen? Like, why isn't he signing something somewhere already?
So because he's restricted, somebody had to give him an offer sheet, which is like, we want to sign you. And I guess Atlanta did. And then the Kings have like 2 days to say, we will actually match that and keep you. Or you can go to Atlanta. So I think that's where we're at. We're at Atlanta gave him an offer of 4 years, 72 mil, and the Kings have to say, okay, we want to match that, or that's too rich for our blood. Have fun in Atlanta.
Got it. Okay, that clears up a lot, because it really seemed like he just needed a lawyer or something. Yeah. It was like, are you confused about the process? Everyone else seems to know what to do.
Turns out we were confused about the process.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about your Lakers.
Okay, please. That was my biggest WTF, was when we were like waiting and waiting to see what to do with our mid-level exception. They're like, we're signing little guys, and like Schroeder was dealt. So we like still had this $9.5 million, what to do with it. And I didn't really expect Trez to be on our radar. And then at like first night, Trez signs with the Lakers. I was like, whoa, that's a big one, right?
That was the first, like, nobody reported it. There were no sort of like, that was not, we all feel like we know, at least like we've heard rumors, but like that was the first like, excuse me? Like they have the money and he has the balls to do that?
That's like, very exciting. Yeah. To go from the Clippers specifically to the Lakers. That's, I mean, Trez.
You hate the Clippers. So is this any sort of conflict of interest, or do you just root for the jersey, not the guy?
Oh, I totally like embrace him with open arms, because now he left the Clippers to join the Lakers. I'm like, oh, this guy's great. He personally spurned the Clippers. They probably either offered him that much or were hemming and hawing, and they're like, all right, if you don't want me, I'm going to go literally across the hall to the championship team and play for them now.
You just didn't hear. I never heard that. Like, you just think that would make some waves before it actually happened. What a boss to just pull that off like that.
The minor rumblings were just because of the clutch connection of it all. Like, he had already signed with Rich Paul like last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, all right, he's going to go to the Lakers. But then he had such a good season that everyone's like, he's probably going to get like a Knicksian 5 for 80 somewhere, like a team like Atlanta that really could use him. But for whatever reason, I guess, you know, big guys who can't shoot threes are of limited value.
Yeah. I mean, you upgraded at every position, or like every player got like the better version of that player. It's pretty remarkable.
Right. Yeah. So Rondo became Schroeder.
Crazy.
Which is an upgrade. Yeah. Runner up to the sixth man of the year.
So much energy.
Dwight became Trez. So like that became the sixth man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Green became Wes Matthews, which is comparable, but he's making $3 million instead of $15 million.
Huge.
And then we re-signed Markieff and signed Marc Gasol to replace JaVale McGee.
Marc Gasol at the veteran minimum? Is that correct? Is that like $2.5 million?
Almost. A little more, because we gave him a 2-year fully guaranteed deal. So we had to trade McGee. We could offer him the minimum, and I guess Toronto did as well. But to give him more money, we had to trade McGee, which we did. Which like kind of limits our... We don't have that 7-footer like Dwight or McGee to just harass other teams' big men or get offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have instead is a Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell second lineup reserves, and then we have Marc Gasol, who can hopefully pick up the slack.
Do you think that, I believe that in the Lakers last season, previous season, they always had either LeBron or AD on the floor at the same time. Are there now lineups where both of them sit simultaneously? Are there like 4-minute stretches? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's... A lot of it is going to help him in the regular season, because the turnaround is insanely fast. We're recording this on November 24th. In theory, preseason starts next week, and the season begins in less than a month.
Fantastic.
So last year, like when LeBron rested, it was not a good situation. This year, I think we can tread water with LeBron on the bench.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, I think that tight schedule is going to be tough on the players, but even more than the players, it's going to be tough on the FanDuel players. Because yeah. We're going to be starting AD 2 minutes before tip, and then we're going to find out. Like, teams are going to be resting their dudes. Like, this is going to be like the last couple weeks of the bubble, I think, again.
Yeah. I mean, the Trez signing was not only good for the Lakers, it hurt like the second best team, which is the Clippers. And they look like they were really floundering until they signed with that same exact contract, Serge Ibaka.
Let's talk about that for a second. I think that is such a massive upgrade over Montrezl Harrell. I think Montrezl Harrell is...
For them.
For them, and just in basketball terms. Like, for a winning team, I feel like Ibaka takes you in the playoffs much further than Montrezl does. Montrezl is, I mean, for 30 minutes, he's just going to put his shoulder in the other guy's chest, and it's just a nightmare. But I think Ibaka's game is just so much more refined, and he could just do so much more for that team. I think that's a real... I think that's a nice little win. I think both Los Angeles teams got net wins with those additions to their teams.
Yeah. And story-wise, it's a lot better. Like, now we get to see Trez against the Clippers, which is going to be fun. And we get to see Ibaka with Kawhi, which is going to be fun.
And now you are armed with ammo for any Clippers fan to just say, he left your team to come to ours. You know, it's all just, this is just exactly how you wanted it to play out for 18 months.
And all the Clipper fans are like, hey, good luck trusting Trez. He was terrible in the bubble. He can't defend. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to see if we could, like, squeeze more out of him than Doc Rivers could.
Yeah. I mean, because we talk about all the guys you have additions to, or your new additions, but, like, you have LeBron and AD. It's so mental. Yeah. Like, this team, what do you think a realistic, is it 75-game season or 72?
72, 10 what do you games think less than usual.
What do you think a realistic record for them at the end of the regular season? And, don't like, they don't sit LeBron for a week or something. What's a realistic record?
15-22.
Wow. Oh, okay. So you don't think they're going to just absolutely smash this season?
I don't think so, because I mean, I didn't think so last year either, but they did really, really well. I just don't think that regular season LeBron is going to be the same this year. Like, that one seed is less important now that we have a championship under our belt, and, like, we already have a little built-in chemistry. We don't have to, like, hustle so hard to create that, and we know what we have, and we should have a better team, so he should be playing less. And the insanely quick turnaround, I think he almost shouldn't play very much in December and January.
Right, much more responsible. Is this season now, like, going to be, you play the same teams far more often than other teams, like teams in your region generally? I've seen how, like, some teams have
to play. That's another crazy thing. Yeah. They haven't even, like, announced what the schedule is. They know vaguely, like, you're still playing the East, you know, East plays West twice a season, but you don't play, like, interconference non-divisional opponents as much. Like, Lakers may play the Thunder only twice instead of four or five times.
Yeah, because there's some regions where you're just toast. I mean, like, whoever is around the Lakers, Clippers play a bunch, you know, slide in Denver, they're kind of close, you know, maybe bring down Portland. It's just like, those are all killer teams. Those could be the top four teams in the West.
Yeah, well, imagine the Pacific Division being the Sacramento Kings. You have to play the Lakers four or five times, the Clippers four or five times.
Right.
And then when things are getting easy, you have to play the Warriors four or five times.
God damn.
The Phoenix Suns, who are also very good this year, four or five times.
Is there a consensus, like, these are the top six teams in the West? Like, I go through just, like, the quick names that run through my head, and it's like, Lakers, Clippers, yes. You put, who else? Like, Portland is,
that
are they a
tier underneath it? Yeah, it's like Portland got better, and then Denver, Utah.
Right. If Houston keeps their roster, maybe.
Yeah, that's another thing that's looming, is the Russell Westbrook and James Harden trade of it all. Like, it doesn't seem like they want to bring those two guys back after they both publicly said they didn't want to be there, but.
Right. That's going to be fun.
Crazier shit has happened.
That's a fun locker room, right? But it just seems like there's just so little space in the West. Like, we didn't even say Phoenix yet, and they got Chris Paul, you know?
Yeah.
And they won Phoenix all their games in the bubble.
Yeah, Phoenix should be really good, and the Warriors should be better. In theory, the Warriors should make a leap into the playoffs and replace who? OKC, I guess, is going to flounder out, but
right.
Is New Orleans going to make it? Is Minnesota supposed to be better this year? Memphis is supposed to be better this year? I don't know.
Did New Orleans get better? It's interesting in New Orleans. I like Stan Van Gundy as a coach, but did they become better? Like, losing Drew Holiday is, that's a big loss. I mean, they got Eric Bledsoe and someone else from Milwaukee, maybe a pick, something like that.
Yeah, they got a shitload of picks. But yeah, and Bledsoe was, oh, and George Hill.
George Hill, solid player, of course. And then they dropped $17.5 million on Steven Adams.
Yeah. What it's happened to the whole Trez, Tristan Thompson, Serge Ibaka centers are worth $9 million thing? They didn't get the memo.
Yeah, he's not. He's an absolute oak tree. But it's just like you have like the biggest big man on the low block right now. Like, you need Zion jumping over Steven Adams. It just, that move really confused me and suddenly made me think like, Brandon Ingram, Jackson Hayes is now stuck in there. They have just some weird pieces. I don't know.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball's still there.
Yeah. He's the one that the Knicks fans are still kind of keeping our eye out for right now. Like, would he go for a $16 million contract in his next contract? Would he want more than 16?
He's part of this, like, Jason Tatum class, Donovan Mitchell class, where they've all signed their extensions off their rookie years, but Lonzo did not. So he's like still on the last year this year, making only like $6 million a year.
Right. He wants to get
New Orleans is not giving him that extension. They gave it to Brandon Ingram. So this is like a contract year for Lonzo. And yeah, it's really curious. Like, some people think he's a bust and some people think like he's an all defensive player who can still find a jump shot somewhere.
Right. Because he averages like 10, 10 and 10, which is cool. But I wonder, is it like, does he tread into, I mean, God, Gordon Hayward got $30 million a year, but like, does he tread into the $20 million a year category? I mean, it just seems
I don't know. You're paying for future prediction. It's tough to say that he's definitely hasn't been worth it that much as of now. Like, I still don't trust him to make a three or a floater or a jump shot.
Right. Yeah.
He's still,
but Knicks fans still kind of want him. Did he switch to CIA? If he switched to CIA, he's a future Knick, no doubt.
I don't know. I'm on his IMDb Pro. It won't tell me who his agent or manager is. What the fuck?
L. Rose. That's interesting. Okay. Well.
And trades. We talked about the big one, which was Drew Holiday to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Paul to Phoenix, we barely touched on, which is like a huge swing from OKC to Phoenix.
Love that. OKC, I mean, what do you think about the Presti of it all? Do you like 17 draft picks? Is that...
It seemed like he went overboard at a certain point.
Right.
And then I did see some tweets where it's like, is he the GM of the year? Like, it's easy to turn Russell Westbrook into 5 draft picks and Paul George into, like, that's one of the easiest things to do as a GM. You trade your superstars to teams that need them and you fleece them for their future. Like,
that's right.
In theory, I could do that, right?
Right. I mean, in theory, the Knicks have been doing that for 20 years, where it's just like, it's like, we're a year away, we're 2 years away, we're 4 years away, we're 2 decades away. It's like, they're picks, but they're not players. And you went from a pretty cool rising Western Conference team where it seemed like you could almost attract some players to be like, all right, I can get down with this with like Shea and these players, to strip it down to the bones and bolts. And they were just like, and 17 picks.
I feel bad for SGA because he's like pretty solid up and comer, but like, who's he playing with now? Lou Dort and who else is there? I think even kept track.
Yeah, William Rondo and Lou Dort's cousin. They only have 4 on the roster right now.
Yeah, that's so sad. They were basically one game away from the second round, and then they're like, all right, trade everybody, cut everybody, let's get draft picks. And what are they saving up for?
Yeah, TBD. I am not fully on board with 17 draft picks as the goal of winning an NBA championship. Like, you won you won the first round pick game, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But
what can you get for SGA and 17 first rounders?
Yeah.
Does that Russell get Westbrook. You a player? Exactly, the player you just got rid of.
Full circle. You get Westbrook and George somehow.
And then James Harden, like, the trade felt imminent. Everyone's like, it's about to happen, it's about to happen. It still hasn't happened.
Yeah, and you wonder if that's just, you know, we made that, like, a bigger news story than it was. You know, like, once we start believing, not we, you and I, but the royal we, it's like, once we start believing things, it's like, we'll just make it happen. It's a reality now. I've imagined it. But it's like,
we're all tweeting about it.
Yeah, but who knows what they actually want? You know, they got Christian Wood. They seem like they're buyers as opposed to just like being like the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, it seems like
they started selling a little bit. They
Rocco.
Robert Covington into two draft picks. So they're like, all right, we don't need Rocco anymore.
Right.
They already, and he was like their starting center. But yeah, then they signed Christian Wood, and now they're like, oh, maybe we can make another run at this.
Yeah. It's because the Westbrook and Harden of it, they're just so, they really just like, when you, they're very, I don't know what the right word is, but when you see them, they're very polarizing. Like, you, they don't, like, fit into a team necessarily. It's almost like you're just, like, giving them the wheel, and they're like, you just figure it out. So it seems like a tough, like, no teams seem like they're that desperate. The Knicks seemed like a smart play because it was just like, we have no identity whatsoever, or point guard.
Yeah.
And you both do both of those things.
It's like a prepackaged thing. It's like, here's a Russell Westbrook team if you're interested.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that teams are also weary of these, like, five first-round draft pick trades now that they've happened a couple times? And, like, the Paul George one seems like it's a bit of a, you know, a warning to other teams. Be careful what you trade. Be careful what you trade for, you know.
You don't want to mortgage your future for a two-year deal on a guy that might be gone. Like, Paul George and Kawhi are technically in the last year of their contract. They can opt in next year or they cannot.
Right. But I guess my theory actually does not hold when I think about the Anthony Davis of it all, which was the exact same version that worked out exactly as they would hope.
Right. If you mortgage your future, you better at least make the finals, let alone, like, I mean, the Clippers might not make a conference finals and still have mortgaged their entire future. That's what's staring them in the face right now.
And is this the last guaranteed season they have with Kawhi and Paul George?
They signed 2+1, so this will be the second year guaranteed. And then if they want to play next year, they have to opt into a contract, or they can opt out and re-sign anywhere.
Thin ice, dog. That is like some thin ice. You made a bet. You made a bet, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, and that's, it's, if he one of them leaves, it's over. You need you need both of them long term. Right.
And what worked for the Lakers is that Anthony Davis didn't just become a better basketball player playing with LeBron. He also became like a more shrewd and savvy off the court businessman. And now you're texting me about like their 4D game of chess that they're playing, where he might not sign because they want to clock Giannis's decision. And if Giannis might actually want to come with the Lakers, which, shut up if Giannis goes to the Lakers.
Yeah, but it's looking unlikely right now.
But 2 years ago, Anthony Davis was a guy in New Orleans who was wearing t-shirts that say, "That's all, folks," to passive aggressively say that he doesn't like it there. And now he is winning rings and, you know, low key commanding where people go and bringing people to his team. So the Lakers got this one right.
Yeah, we figured it out. And the fit with LeBron has been perfect, more so than Kawhi and Paul George, I guess.
Right.
So Harden, if you had to bet, are Harden and Westbrook starting the year on the Rockets?
Yes, I think they are. I think it was all just smoke. I mean, the season's in like 3 weeks. Like, how much more? Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know teams that, I mean, it's like Kemba has been like loosely on trading blocks. John Wall has loosely been on trading blocks, but neither one of them, you know, gives you the return that you're looking for. And they're both on max deals, you know, so.
Yeah. And Knicks fan, are you rooting for, if you can get Harden or John Wall or Russell Westbrook for, I don't know, pick four of your favorite up and comers, would you do it?
No, I would want them for 1 year deals just so that it'd be fun to watch them and then say, all right, see you later. I mean, you can't. I mean, the
and
Knicks.
If you had to choose one?
John Wall, without a doubt. Mm. I mean, he's just the most game ready.
Yeah. He hasn't played in 4 years, but yeah. Seeing him in the Knicks jersey just makes sense.
Yeah, just gritty. Gritty like gritty.
Yeah. Gritty like the Flyers mascot.
Right. It is surreal.
Is there anything we haven't talked about?
We haven't really talked about Atlanta and Detroit, or two teams that I can't give you specifics, but it seems like they got everybody, like every player in the, like, just like black holes just sucking in players like left and right. It's like,
yeah, the first four deals announced were like, Detroit has traded for Tony Bradley. Detroit has signed this other center. Detroit has done this. It's like, Jesus, like, leave some room for the rest of us.
Right. It was like, it felt like that extra friend in the group where it was like, you all went to the mall with $100 and this person like spent their 100 in the first 5 minutes. And it was like, yo, we're going to be here all day. What are you doing? Like, chill out. Like,
yeah. And everyone's like, do you have to trade Blake Griffin at this point? Like, how do you have enough room? They, and Charlotte the same. They're like, you're already paying Batum $140 million. How are you going to pay for Hayward?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we have to waive Nick Batum. We overspent. I'm sorry, guys. We apologize.
You walk back into the room with your tail between your legs. Like, I know what I did.
Atlanta's the same thing. They were like, they were building a young, cool team. Like Trae Young, John Collins, Cam Reddish. These are like cool young players.
In a cool
city. And then they went out and signed Danilo Gallinari.
Rondo.
Yeah, Rondo. Like, what timeline is that working with exactly? Like, why does Atlanta need Rajon Rondo exactly?
They think they had the highest cap room in the league. They had 44 and the Knicks had 40 going into the free agency. And it seemed like they wanted to spend all 44, like come hell or high water. Whereas the Knicks were like, Alec Burks, 6. Rivers, 5. Like, Dennis Smith, you know, you get it. And so it just seems like they wanted to spend their money and they filled it out. I mean, like, you can convince me that Danilo Gallinari is a solid player. He is, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just a weird timeline,
putting that on
a
poster?
Yeah. He was a Knick, like, 16 years. He got traded for Melo, I believe. So
yeah, isn't it part of the Detroit deal? And isn't it better to like play Kevin Huerter as much as possible? Like, what's the point of winning a few more games with Gallinari on your team versus seeing what you have with Huerter or Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah, I mean, give me Huerter and Bogdanovich, and let me say who is who. Like, if without my glasses on, I'm just watching two, like, 6'2 white dudes running around firing at will. I'll take it.
Yeah. God. Yeah. I can't believe it's all happening so quickly. In theory, Media Day is supposed to happen next week. I don't understand. My brain is kind of broken.
Yeah, I think my birthday is the 3rd, and I think preseason starts the 5th. So it's like a real win-win.
Like, do they know where these games are happening? If there's a crowd, some teams have announced that there's no audience. Some teams are going to leave it more open-ended.
Yeah, the fact that there's no schedule is just like...
No schedule.
So, right. This is all make-believe.
And teams are traveling.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be like the NFL, where it's like, all right, except in the NFL, when it's like 4 offensive linemen have COVID, so they're not traveling. You can't say that with like the Hornets. They can't be like, 6 Hornets have COVID, but we're going to play a game.
Right. It's LaMelo and the Ball Brothers verse. Right. That's all we got.
You can't do that. You have, right. Like, games will be postponed and... I don't know. It just feels very fishy. It all feels very wonky right now.
Yeah. Thin ice, 12 players per team. And the bubble was so flawless that, you know, I think we took it for granted that the NBA is this like impermeable thing. But this seems like it's going to be a little different. So TBD.
Let's find out. Would you go to a game if they're like, you know what? We can let 300 people into the arena. Are you paying to go?
Hell yeah, dog. As long as I don't have to wear my mask and I can just spit my particles wherever I want willy-nilly. USA, USA, USA.
Get me in a fucking luxury box. Spilling my viral load all over the place.
Disgusting. That is just too far. That phrase and load management. The word load just shouldn't be around. It's way more popular than it should be.
Viral load management. So it's like, that's sort of what a mask is if you think about it.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I don't know if there's anything we missed. I'm sure there is little signings here and there, but a solid recap nonetheless.
Yeah, solid recap nonetheless. If there's one takeaway, it's that the Knicks won free agency 1 year, $5 million, Austin Rivers.
They did a lot of like interesting little savvy things like we'll take Ed Reed or not Ed
Davis.
Ed Davis. Yeah, but give us a second rounder. And then it's like, okay, we'll send you Ed Davis now, but give us a second rounder. It's like, wait, you guys didn't do anything, and now you have 2 second rounders. That was interesting.
Yeah. So
little fringe
again,
moves.
Yeah, yeah. The Knicks, 6 to 16 years away. We're almost there. Yeah. 6 to 16 is our window.
They're doing like the little fringe things you have to do when you have like a core three that's like a championship team, but like without the core three.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I love the little moves that they did. It's like, all right, so who's starting though? Oh, that part. No, we didn't think about that.
Yeah. So far, we just cut Taj and re-signed Taj and cut Taj and re-signed Taj.
They did that with Elfrid Payton, right? They like they cut him and then signed him to a cheaper contract.
Yeah, they're just shrewd and mean and winning 22 games. 22 and 53 incoming Knicks fans.
I'm excited to see the over-unders,
Yeah.
We That'll got the over-under the... draft next week.
Okay, we're back.
Let's bring it back, baby.
Cool.
All right, sweet. Anything you want to plug, promote, talk about?
Just listen to the No Joke podcast when you're not listening to Buckets. Also on HeadGum, me and Adam Lustick.
Hell yeah. Good work. All right. Cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back, I'm sure, as soon as possible.
All right. See you then.
Later.
That was a HeadGum podcast.